Our fourth presentation is Urban Pathways to Healthy Neighborhoods, Strategies to Encourage Physical Activity in Underserved Communities. And Kelly Pack will be presenting this talk. Kelly is Director of Trail Development for Rails to Trails Conservancy in the district here. And she provides technical assistance to communities across the country, facilitates regional greenway planning initiatives in the Mid-Atlantic and Southeast, and delivers trail development training workshops and works with urban communities to encourage active transportation and physical activity. And I gather that you have been car-free for 5 years. Congratulations.
Thank you. It's so good to be here with you today. In order for me to know a little bit more about my audience, I just would like to see how many of you have had the magical experience of being on a trail, a walking and biking trail. Great. So most of you. And also, just for my information, how many people come from the public health realm in some capacity, and how many people come from planning, transportation, recreation? Okay, so a few folks. This is great. Part of the reason why we're really excited to be a part of APHA is because we really need to, as planners, recreation, transportation planners, to partner with you more to help strengthen our programs and our evaluation procedures. So I'm excited to tell you a little bit about a program that we're implementing across the country called Urban Pathways, a little bit about Rails to Trails Conservancy. We're a national organization located here in the district. We have four regional offices across the country as well. There are about 150,000 members and supporters that we have across the country, and we are also celebrating our 25th anniversary this year. Our mission is to create a nationwide network of trails from former rail lines and connecting corridors to build healthier places for healthier people. I thought it was pretty appropriate that the logo for APHA this year has some folks walking, biking, running on what looks like to be a trail. So that was pretty exciting for me. In the past, you know, we would say, build trails and they will come. So because trails kind of spawned out of the rail trail movement kind of started in the Midwest in the 1960s, and you saw them kind of springing up in suburban and rural areas. In the past couple decades, we've seen more urban trails come online, and we've changed our mantra. So it's not build it and they will come. It's build it, promote it, program it, and they will come. So it takes a little bit of effort. You'll see some great images of urban trails across the country in my presentation, and you'll notice that they really are kind of a natural oasis for folks that live in pretty dense residential areas. We thought it was important to examine trails in urban areas because we know, especially in urban areas that have low-income populations and communities of color, because those populations suffer disproportionately from the effects of obesity. And trails are one way to incorporate physical activity in your life and decrease those effects. We also know that additional factors in urban environments add to the challenges of being physically active. So you have higher crime rates. You have maybe poor infrastructure or bad connectivity in some places that connect folks from their homes to other destinations in their neighborhood. And, you know, crime and safety, so just the perception of crime or real crime is also an issue that a lot of urban communities face. And so we wanted to take that into account as we began to develop some of our programs. Our story begins here in Washington, D.C., on the Metropolitan Branch Trail. If any of you all are able to take your own mobile workshop, I highly suggest looking up the Metropolitan Branch Trail. You can start at Union Station. When it's complete, the Met Branch Trail will run 8 miles from Union Station to Silver Spring, Maryland. Last year, a very important segment of that trail was completed, about 2 miles, and got the interest of Kaiser Permanente. They just located their new Center for Total Health on the Met Branch Trail. So before the center opened in 2005 or 2006, they approached us and said, you know, we're really interested in, through our Healthy Eating Active Living program, in encouraging people to use this new facility to be physically active, especially in the neighborhoods just north of the center, which have higher percentages of low-income populations. And today, this is what the trail looks like. We're still working to get more people out on the trail. One thing to know, especially about rail trails in urban communities, is that they typically run in kind of industrial or former industrial areas. So one of the biggest things we have to do to get people on trails is to let them know that they exist and that they're there. We started by doing our research to better understand how are we going to go about engaging with the community and encouraging physical activity. We kind of got our framework from the ecological model. So understanding that there are a lot of different factors that play into the decision that people make to be physically active, individual, social, and environmental factors. An individual factor might be that a kid doesn't have a bike, so there's no way that they can ride their bike on a trail if they don't have one. Social factors being, again, kind of instances of crime or perceived crime in an area. And then the built environment, you know, what are the connections between where people live and the trail that they're going to use. Trail-specific research said that, especially with low-income communities, one of the most important strategies for encouraging physical activity is just to promote the trail within the neighborhood, because people are going to use it if they know it's there. And then crime-related safety let us know that participants in areas with higher crime rates walk less often, and especially women. So we wanted to really look at how to engage women and young girls as well. One of the first researchers to look at urban pathways was Greg Lindsay, and he did a study in 2001 on the Monon Trail in Indianapolis, Indiana. He looked at access and equity on that trail, because it is a fairly long trail that intersects lots of different neighborhoods. And what I found was really interesting in this study is that he said, you know, the Greenway plan is really big and bold. It's a huge way that we're going to be able to connect people with their homes and other destinations, but its success will be determined by people's perceptions of the small individual encounters that occur along trails. So from our experience here in Washington, D.C., we developed the Urban Pathways Initiative. And it's a way to really engage the community, walk them through the different steps of getting people to be physically active on the trail, and to also help influence policy in that area. With support from the Kresge Foundation, we began place-based work in 7 locations across the country, each very unique and different, with different sets of needs. For example, in Cleveland, Ohio, the Slavic Village neighborhood where we were working was one of the hardest hit neighborhoods when it came to the foreclosure crisis. And in New Orleans, we're working with communities that were coming back to the city and, you know, seeing new development in their neighborhoods, wondering how that was going to affect their way of life. We started out by looking at the communities physical and social conditions. So we developed an audit instrument to assess the pedestrian and bicycle connections to the trail. We also got out to the neighborhood. So we didn't host planning charrettes. We didn't say, come to us and tell us how you want to use the trail. We hit the pavement. We went to civic association meetings, you know, here in D.C., the Metropolitan Police Department have kind of localized meetings. So we went to dozens and dozens of those, sat through hours and hours of meetings and community issues just to have a moment to engage with groups there to hear about their concerns and their needs for the trail. And after we did the audit for the built environment, we used we kind of combined everything to create an action plan and had a set of recommendations for moving forward. Our physical audit, like I said, looked at ped bike infrastructure around the trail. We worked with the project managers or the trail managers to develop an area that we could study, and We've looked at an area about a half a mile buffer away from the greenway or trail, and wanted to examine what types of community connections were within that area and how could we tell people how they can use the trail to get to those places. So we assessed intersections, we assessed sidewalk conditions. Again, we inventoried a lot of the community amenities that were in the area. And one of our biggest assessment pieces was sidewalk quality. And it varies, you know, from city to city. Here in D.C., we have a pretty good sidewalk system. In New Orleans, you know, lots of places is non-existent. So we wanted to be able to put that data in a GIS database to present to the planning department of each city so that they could help use that and make better connections within those neighborhoods to the trail. So we developed four sets of recommendations for kind of four communities where we were most engaged. And they're being used, like I said, to help guide public policy. So in New Orleans, we presented the data set to the Regional Planning Commission, and they're working with the city to develop a complete streets initiative. So they'll actually take our data and help, that will help them decide where they should prioritize curb ramps, where they should prioritize sidewalk improvements. We also want to use the data to influence infrastructure decisions. So in Compton, California, one of the biggest issues is all of the intersections along the trail that you have to cross that are, you know, arterial roadways with high traffic volume. So we made a set of recommendations for improving those intersections. And we also want to make suggestions and help the community come up with creative funding sources for making trail improvements. So this photo is from a workshop in New Orleans where a youngster wanted a treehouse in the corridor. You know, he'll use the trail. There's a treehouse there. Again, promotion is key. We, in almost all of our projects, work to provide wayfinding signs, bigger maps and signage, not only along the trail, but in the community. So if you're on the trail, it's great to know where it goes, kind of along the river or, you know, the route of the trail, but we also wanted to show people how they could use it to get to different destinations in their community. Signage was really important, too. Here in D.C., one of the neighborhoods that we were working with really wanted to incorporate the trail as part of its identity. So we designed signs that have kind of an artistic representation of the neighborhood with the trail, and those signs are placed along streets that are adjacent to the trail and point people to access points. And then public art is a great way to kind of signalize where trailheads are, where access points are located. Programming is so huge. So from our recommendations and the advice we got from community members, we began implementing different programs in the areas. And here in DC, you know, having a garden or a space for kids to ride safely, be involved in bicycle safety programs, and painting murals, public art, was huge. I think it kind of went hand in hand with the healthy eating, active living goal, because we used food from the garden to do regular kind of stops along the trail during the weekday, and there's someone enjoying a beautiful strawberry salad. The ways that we determined were best to encourage trail use through our program was really, one was dealing with the perceptions of the built environment and of safety. Safety was a real issue here in D.C. There were several incidences on the trail, so we developed a trail patrol and, again, had regular programming during those kind of hot spots of times when the incidences were occurring. Addressing individual and social motivating factors of physical activity was really important. So the upper right picture is in Compton, California, and we had a series of walking groups and 5Ks for the faith-based community there. And then again, just the social characteristics of trailside neighborhoods. I don't have a picture of our New Orleans project, but if you've been there before, you know that they have something called second lines, which are brass bands that kind of spontaneously walk through the street and create a joyous atmosphere. So we connected with kind of one of the major groups that does second lines in those neighborhoods, and it's going to be incorporated into the plans. Evaluation at this point, we're doing trail counts. So we're using infrared counters to learn about how often the trail is being used. We can use this information to design our programming better. And our place-based work is only part of the Urban Pathways Initiative. We also have a national learning network. We've convened two national conferences. We include the usual suspects, but we also reach out to other folks in the community and in the national audience to get an idea of how we can improve our programs and just to talk more about the issues that urban communities face. And yes, we did have the police officers there. They're standing in the back. All of this information is available online. So we have trail tours that you can walk through with some of our hosts. Lessons learned. There's no place like home. Each of these communities is very different. So doing the community assessment led to different recommendations in each place. For example, in Compton, California, there's a big equestrian community. So we had to actually kind of shift our programming to accommodate them. Again, promotion is key. Folks have to know about the trail and that it exists to use it. And we're going to be setting new goals for evaluation in the future. We worked on program implementation, and in the coming years, we want to work more with the public health sector to strengthen that so that we can continue to make the case and understand the connection between the built environment and health. And really, we think that we'll reach our goal when we don't have to use these interventions anymore to see trails become part of the fabric of the community. And thank you for your time and attention.